when you get older and you don't have as much strength as you used to have, and your wife says, you know what? You're still the strong man I married. Well, that's important. Did you do what I asked you to do last week? Did you say good things one to another all week long? If you did, I promise you, you've had a good week.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's great to have you with us today as Pastor Bill continues his study of Song of Solomon. You know, the little foxes represent those things that quietly destroy relationships. Foxes get into vineyards to feed on the grapes, and the keepers must prop up the branches so the foxes can't reach them. The fruit of the couple's relationship was still tender and needed to be both protected and encouraged. So now here's Pastor Bill with part two of The Little Foxes.
Look what it says here again. Catch, that means to take hold. It means to seize, lay hold of. Catch us. It's us, not me. In other words, husband and wife, man, woman, both of you have to work together to remove, set those fox traps and remove the things that are destroying your relationship. And I'll tell you, there are many little foxes, but let me give you the number one fox right now in the church and in the world that is destroying marriage after marriage, and that is the little fox of communication. Meaning husbands, you know, what is it about men? You know, we act like we're listening and we get that blank stare on our face and we're looking at our wife and they're going, you're not listening to me. I'm guilty of that. I know. And she'll say, you're the pastor. Wake up. You teach this stuff, don't you? You know, I say, okay, honey, you're brutal, man. The little foxes that come in, you have to talk one to another. You have to communicate with one another. Listen, here are some facts for you. The average couple communicates in the first year of marriage, you ready for this? 70 minutes a day. In the second year of marriage, only 30 minutes. In the third year of marriage, 15 minutes a day. In the fourth year of marriage, 15 minutes a day. And by the year 10, only 5 minutes a day. Now, what do you say, Bill, we talk to each other all day long. I know you do. But what kind of communication is it? You see, there are five levels of communication, from the lowest to the highest. Here goes. Let me give you five very quickly. First of all, on the five levels of communication in marriage or any relationship, you have what we call everyday talk. I always refer to it as caveman talk, you know. In other words, you come in from work, hey, honey, any mail, you know, any calls, and what's for dinner, and where's the remote control in my iced tea? Now, that is the lowest level of communication. You rush in, oh man, the Cowboys are on tonight, and you know, it's like the kids, get up, shut up, go to your room, go play something, just don't say another word, just, we're going to eat dinner in the living room. I mean, that is caveman talk, folks. Think about it. And then the second level of communication is what we call about talking facts. In other words, talking about things that you must talk about. Well, how much will it cost? And then one of your favorite phrases, well, how much will it cost? And then you have those others talking your ideas. In other words, well, I guess we should paint the house. You know, wallpaper the wall. Well, whatever. Well, you know, we need braces for the kids. Well, their teeth doesn't look that bad. You understand? That's just everyday talk. And then you have the other one, level number four, where it's emotional talking. And this is how you really feel. It's where you talk about, this is what I feel about me. This is how I feel about life. This is how I feel about living. I'll tell you something. As you get older in your life, if you don't have a spouse where you can really talk about the way you feel, you're going to be lonely. If I didn't have my wife, see, I have absolutely no fear of telling my wife anything. I mean, you know, when I walk home, that may be a prophetic word. You'll see me tonight on 820. I know that I can talk to her. If I say to her, like on a Monday, as I'm leaving to come here to the church, I'm going to say, okay, I just want my red flannel shirt. I just want to pack my bags. I want to go to Colorado. She knows I'm only just blowing off steam. You know what I mean? She understands I'm saying, it's Monday. Because Monday, see, you've poured out your heart all week and study, and you've been pregnant twice with the Word of God, and then you empty yourself out on Sunday, and then you get up on Monday and you start all over again. And you say, oh, the Rockies sound awful good to me. You know, Rocky Mountain High, never mind. But, you know, when you get older and you don't have as much strength as you used to have, you're not as agile as you used to be. And your wife says, you know what? You're still the strong man I married. Well, that's important. Words. I pray this week. Did you do what I asked you to do last week? Did you say good things one to another all week long? If you did, I promise you, you've had a good week. I'm not saying that things didn't happen, but I'm saying if you spoke good things over one another, what a blessing you are to your wife, to your husband. So when we talk about communication, that emotional talk, and then the highest level is talking truth. That's where you're both open and honest with one another without absolutely any fear of rejection. And of course, the number two fox in any marriage that you have to catch and get rid of, y'all know what that is without a doubt. It's debt. Being in debt where you're just overwhelmed. And I tell you something that I see today besides the debt, and what I see as the result of being in debt and worry is this, is that I see overcommitment and physical exhaustion, not only in the world, but in the church body. I see couples that both work full time and they have children and they work so hard and they're exhausted. They get home late. One's picking up the kids from the nursery and they get home. And some of you tonight, just the same way, you rushed from your job to pick the kids up. You haven't even had dinner yet. God bless you. And you come here and listen to me. That has to be a miracle. You understand? And you know, I know you're worn out from the day. It's midweek. The things that you've gone through, the way the devil tries to attack you and so forth. But you know, the thing that we need to realize is that some marriages, the reason that the little foxes just multiply is because they're just so tired. And then when the marriage starts falling apart, they're just too tired to continue. Listen, you need to guard yourself. You need to remove those foxes. You need to catch them and trap them and kill them. Do whatever you need to do, but you need to remove them from your life by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God. You can do those things. And let me tell you what foxes do, these problems that come in. Now listen to me. Here's what happens. Usually, whenever you start bearing fruit, remember it was the foxes came in when the vine was young. When just fruit started blossoming, what the devil does, he comes in soon as he sees an area of your life that is bearing fruit and starting to blossom. You know, here's what he does. He comes in and he sends those demons and he tries to gnaw on your fruit and take it away from you. But you know what you need to do? You need to stop him by submitting unto the Lord. Amen. Submitting unto the Lord. I tell you, when you do that and do what the Word of God says, listen, the devil will flee from you. You have to guard your vineyard, guard your home, because Satan hates you to be in love with one another. He hates for you to have a good marriage. He hates for you to bear fruit in any area of your life. What does that mean? It means this. Husband, wife, or if you're in a relationship, courtship, don't sweep the problems, the issues that you're facing under the rug. You pull those things out and say, here's a little fox, here's a little fox, here's a little fox, and here's what we're going to do. And we're going to be wearing a fox coat here pretty soon. You do something about it. I think one of the foxes that sneaks into the vineyard of marriage or any relationship, and it comes in, and I see this so often, is what I call wrong focus. And what happens is that during courtship, man, are you ever focused on one another? I mean, she looks her best. You look your best. You are on your best behavior. She's on her best behavior. And everything is about you and everything is about her. That's all you're talking about, vice versa. But what happens is after you're married, And I see this so often, it hurts me. And I see young marriages, people that are, especially young marriages, that have just started out. And what happens is they're so much in love. I know because I counseled with them or I performed the ceremony or whatever. I know them at least a little bit, not maybe intimately, but I know them, you know. I see that love they have for one for another. And then I see them come in. They've been both working all day, whatever, or facing the challenges of life. And all of a sudden, the focus is no longer on each other. The focus has changed. And what happens is they refocus on themselves. They go back and look at themselves. Listen to me, husbands, young husbands, listen. You need to change your focus. I mean, you need to be just as attentive to your wife before you married her as you are after you're married. Does that make sense? And vice versa. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind or this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Listen, if you want your marriage, if you want your courtship to bear fruit, continue to bear fruit, then you're going to have to do something. And here it is. You must actively, that's action, folks, actively put your mate first. Put her first. Put him first. Man, love one another. I mean, love one another passionately. Talk to one another. You know, I'm going to say something. Men, listen to me. I love you, okay? I want to preface that before you'd gang up on me and beat me up after church. Your wife, she's not your mama. You understand me? You didn't marry your mother, boys. You married your wife. You don't need a mama anymore. You're supposed to leave mom and dad, amen, and cleave to your wife. Amen. Don't expect her to be your mother. Expect her to be your wife, your helpmate. She completes you. You need to treat her right, and you need to do that quickly. Another fox that comes in is anger. Let me say something about anger. Anger does not work the righteousness of God. So what do you do if you're angry? Listen to me. You must learn to settle conflicts. Why? Because they're not going to go away. If you don't settle a conflict, they're just going to continue to grow. In other words, don't ever go to bed at night angry with one another. Remember what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26? It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Listen, you're going to get angry with your spouse. Listen. Do you think that my wife and I never argue? Well, listen, let me tell you what happens. What's so wonderful is that how God gets a hold of her heart whenever she starts. You know what I mean? And now, we're in verse 16. You know what we do? We don't fight. Now, have we had some fights? Yeah, but you know what? I'll either start doing some dancing moves. I just laugh it off. Now, I know that makes her mad, but then we'll both start laughing. Listen, I'm not going to let anger steal from me. There's nothing, you know, I want to be angry at the devil. He's the one trying to destroy my life and my marriage. That's what he wants to do, but he's not going to, because I'm going to do what God says, and I know that that's what you're going to do. Listen, demonstrate love one for another, okay? Demonstrate it. Just don't say I love you. Demonstrate it. And you'll be actively putting your mate first. Now let's go to verse 16 now. It says, "And my beloved is mine and I am his." I love that. "And he feeds his flock among the lilies." And who is Solomon's lily? It's this lady, isn't it? And in other words, she's saying, you know what? You're my shepherd. I'm your sheep. I'm in your pasture, you know, and I love you. Listen, that means that she trusts him and he trusts her. Don't marry somebody that you don't trust. You need to have that kind of trust in your life. And now he says, the beloved says, "Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved." In other words, come back to me, my love. Now look what happens here. "And be like a gazelle or a young stag." In other words, turn back to me, I guess, and run to me with all of your might. To what? Well, it says, "upon the mountains of Bether." Now, this passage is deep passion. Folks, listen. This Shulamite lady is in love with Solomon. She loves him. He loves her. And this is solid passion. Look at it again. It says, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. What is she saying? She's saying, until the sun comes up. And when it comes up, all the shadows of the day are gone. She's saying here, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of Bether. What is she saying? She's saying, I not only love you, I'm ready to be married to you, and I want to lie in your embrace all night long. I want you to love me. There is nothing wrong with sexual passion in marriage. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. I don't know why the church is so consumed thinking that there's, or part of the church, that there's something wrong with sex within marriage. It's a beautiful thing that God created. Like I said last Wednesday night, Hugh Hefner didn't create that. Masters and Johnson didn't create that. Satan has nothing to do with it except to destroy it. It's a God-created thing. And what she says here, and I don't even know if I ought to go here or not, but whenever you read this, it says, upon the mountains of Bether. Folks, listen, I checked that out, and there's not any mountains of Bether in the Bible. Matter of fact, when I looked at the map, I'm going, where is this place? It's not even there. And then when I started doing a word study, I realized it meant separation, the mountains of separation. And actually, the word separation there means cleavage. Do you get my drift? Now, that's as far as I'm going to go with that. And I'll not say another word because I don't want to be embarrassed up here. You might see the Shekinah glory of God, but it's actually my face turning red. And look what she says. Now, she just said, I want you to lie in my embrace all night, and you know the rest of it. And by night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. Now, evidently, she's having a dream here. And you know, that's the way it is, you know, before the wedding night. I mean, you can, you go, Lord, you know, you just start having these nightmares. It's not going to happen, or it is going to happen, or whatever. But the thing is, in this dream, in each verse, she says, the one I love, meaning my soul, the one I love with all my being. She says, I will rise now, I said. And look at this dream now. She says, and I'm going to go about the city, in the streets and in the squares, and I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchman who goes about the city found me, and I said, have you seen the one I love? Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. Over and over she says that the one that I love, my helpmate, the one I want to marry, the one that I trust. Look what she did. I held him, and I would not let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. Now, I don't know if that means that in this dream she said, listen, you know what? You're going to come home. I want you to talk to my mama. I don't know what that means. I don't know if she was saying, I don't know if the palace life is right for me. I feel secure in this room where this is where I was birthed. This is where I came forth. This is my mama. And maybe she was, you know, having jitters. I don't really know. But I just know this, they're alone in her dream. And they're alone in her mother's house. And look what she says in verse 5. I charge you. There's this thing we're going to find through the whole Song of Solomon. I charge the daughters of Jerusalem. What is she going to charge them to do? Maintain sexual purity. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love. In other words, awaken sexual passion until it pleases. Listen, what was she saying? She says, Solomon, and you could say the same thing. Solomon, or to the person you're in love with, I love you. I want you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. You complete me. You know, Tom Cruise or whatever. You complete me, okay? You know, and you're who I want. And I don't want anyone ever, ever, but I tell you what, I can't let it go. This is where it stops, right here. Until our wedding night, you and I cannot touch one another. Let me say something to you about courtship. That week, the final week, and I know I've counseled a lot of couples, the week before the wedding, it's like I tell them, turn the shower on cold. Stay in the shower. Just him. You know what I mean? You know, I had a person call me one time about, I don't know if it was in the morning or late at night. Is this Pastor Bill? Yes. Hey, listen, I heard your, I was at church the other day and you used to talk about, you know, and I said, you think it's okay for me to take a shower with my girlfriend? I'm hearing water running. And I said, are you out of your mind? Can you believe I get phone calls like that? Listen, I don't know where I said that, but I don't know. It's just, listen, the final week, it'd be safer that final week for them not to even see one another. You know why? Because you're not that strong. There's something happens in that final week, you just say, listen, I'm in love. I want you. It's okay. We're going to get, it's just a piece of paper. No, it's not. God hasn't made covenant yet. And you keep yourself pure. You know, there may be some tonight, maybe that are even listening on the radio. I don't know. And you say, you know, I don't know that you should be teaching this love and romance and the sexual passion in the church. Well, let me ask you a question. We let Hollywood teach it and Satan rejoices. We let the Planned Parenthood people teach it to our children and Satan rejoices. We let our public education system teach sex and Satan rejoices. I'm going to tell you something tonight. The church is allowing everyone to teach the things we should be teaching. Amen. Because we have the Word of God. Amen. And we have the truth of God's Word. It's very important that sex is not some dirty thing. It's a beautiful thing within marriage and in marriage only. Love your spouse. Enjoy your life. Live, folks. You know, I want you to, when you do a word study, if you would study through the Solomon, you'll learn something that from chapter 1 all the way through, you know what this lady is doing? She is constantly referring to her body as a vineyard. And if you'll study that out, you'll see that this phrase here is used to describe her body. And if you're in a serious relationship, in other words, if you're engaged, if whatever, I want to say something to you. The honeymoon should not be business as usual. Do you understand what I mean? It shouldn't be business as usual. Oh, well, we're on our honeymoon, but we've already been messing around. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be, folks. That's sin. The honeymoon should be a wonderful night. It's where, you know what, you haven't touched her, she hasn't touched you. And then you get in there into that room and it's just you and her and a candle and I don't know whatever. I'm not going in with that anywhere, but I'm just saying. It's just you and it's God and listen, God's ordained this marriage and God's blessed this marriage and He'll bless the marriage bed, amen? Amen? Love one another. And that's what God desires for you to do. You say, well, Bill, you know what? That wasn't the way it was with me. Okay, well, you know what? Have you ever heard of the grace of God? Have you ever heard of the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you not know that God will not only forgive, but God will bless and God will restore and that you're a new creation in Christ and that your old sins are completely buried in the sea of forgetfulness, as it says in Micah 7? Do you understand? Listen, you are saved. You're a new creation. Rejoice in that. Don't let the devil say, well, I didn't do it that way. Okay, well, guess what? Not too many do anymore. But if you're here tonight, and you are in a relationship, and if you are in sin, if you're single, listen to me. You, both of you, go to the Lord. You get on your knees and say, Father, I have sinned against her body. She sinned against my body. We have sinned against God. We've sinned, Father. And you know what? Forgive us, and God will cleanse you from all sin, and then do it the right way. Amen? Amen. Do it God's way. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. Did you say good things one to another for a week? Well, I have something this week I'd like for you to do, and only if you desire to do it. But until next Wednesday, husband and wife, listen to me. Would you do something? Would you actively put your mate first? Treat her right with all of your heart. Refocus again on your marriage. Refocus on one another and bless one another. Do that for the whole week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Pastor Bill continues this study of Song of Solomon on our next broadcast, and we hope you'll tune in for his next message, A True Honeymoon. And in the meantime, we pray that your day is blessed. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.